This is Harry Murray at Murray's Flash Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia. This podcast that we do in the middle part of each month is basically on the questions that you've emailed me about or called me about that you've asked me to discuss on this. So many of these are appropriate almost any time of the year. One thing that has come up, and we've had a number of questions on this, if you look back in the literature on the used rods, especially some of it that came out many years ago, they would talk about a nymph rod and a dry fly rod and all that. Well, this most of this originated when we would fish dry nymphs and wet flies down and across stream with a slow pumping action. And for that, we really relied strongly on a rod with a strong action. Nowadays, the techniques we teach are mostly upstream or up and across stream with nymphs. I like to use a rod that has a firm butt section. In fact, a pretty good taper all the way through on that. I do not want a mushy rod to fish nymphs today, because if you have a rod, such as the new Scott Flex rods are perfect for that. Oh, incidentally, they should be along in about a month. They're outstanding rods. The new Scott Flex rods are firm enough that when you're fishing upstream dead drift or up and across with the Charlie Brooks method that I've written about in all my books, you're relying on detecting that strike quickly and then setting the hook quickly. For this, I want a rod that has a firm tip and a firm butt section, both to detect the strike and then to hook the fish. So if you're reading something that was written 30, 40 years ago about a wet fly action, that's fine for what they were doing, but today's technique, we don't use that action very much. All right, now let's look at some of the other questions you've asked me here. All right, left-hand cast. I had a real good friend recently that has had the right-handed boy, had some surgery on his right shoulder, really knocked him out. Well, I encouraged him to develop his casting technique with his left hand, because you already know what should be done. And it's not that hard to learn to cast with the hand opposite of what you're normally using. When I do my fly casting clinics here through the winter and early in the spring, I'm right-handed, and normally I cast with my right hand, but I don't have any problem casting with my left hand to teach anybody to cast that way. Plus, one time when I was floating the Yellowstone River a whole lot with Ray Hurley, we had a real good friend from Pennsylvania that came out, and lo and behold, he threw his shoulder out the first day. I'm not going to tell you this boy's name, but I encouraged him to go out there and just develop his casting with his left hand, which he did, and he ended up having a very good trip. So don't be reluctant to switch hand on to your casting, because once you know the technique and how to control the loop and how to control the line speed, it's not that hard to do. Now, this is a good one that I teach right now in my classes on the Shenandoah River. When the river is getting low, as it's dropping back now, I fished yesterday evening, had outstanding fishing, but the river will be getting lower in August than it is at this time of the year. So when it starts getting real, real low, I wade upstream and cast upstream primarily to keep from spooking the fish. Now, if you're hesitant to fish underwater upstream, once the water gets to this level, you can fish a deer hair bass bug on top, such as the Tapley bugs, the Shenandoah series, or the blue popper. In fact, I think that's what I'm going to do tonight. I've got a place upstream from where I'm sitting right this moment. I'm going to go and fish dry flies and deer hair bass bugs and poppers upstream. So strike detection really isn't that big a deal when you're fishing upstream, because you're going to see that strike. So just remember now, if the river gets low and spooky, just turn and fish upstream, and you'll probably improve your fishing a whole lot. All right, somebody says, how many lines do I carry in my vest? Well, for one thing, I'll have right now on my bass outfit, I've got a floating line on the reel and a sink tip line on the extra spool in my pouch. Now, for instance, in saltwater down at the Outer Banks, I use a 9-weight Scott rod down there. I'll have a 350 grain fast-sinking head. They've got a whole lot of names for these, but you want a 350-grain, very fast-sinking head, something that sinks around, probably up to 6 inches per second. And then I have that on one spool. On the second spool, I've got a slow sinker. It depends on the depth of water, but down there in the Outer Banks, it depends on how fast the tide's pulling, too, because sometimes the tide's pulling crazy going out on some of those channels down there. I fish back in the Sound, by the way. I would have to go to that fast sinker because I'd be hanging if I couldn't get it down to them otherwise. And I do the same thing in Montana. In Montana, I use a whole Hardy Pre-Reisha Perfect, and I have a floater on one spool, a sink tip on the second spool that sinks about 3 inches per second, and then I've got a fast-sinking head that sinks about 4 to 5 inches per second on the third spool. So an extra spool, or two extra spools even, with an extra line will broaden your horizons tremendously. You know, in that same vein, when I'm going down to those sink tip lines and the sinking head, I drop back and use my 6 foot Murray's sinking fluorocarbon leader. If you go longer than that, you're sort of negating the value that you get on the sinking tip line. So those are some of the questions you've thrown at me, and I'll be glad to answer anything you have. If you want to call me directly, I'll cover those with you. But send us any questions you have or call me on that. This is Harry Murray at Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia. If you want to call me, just ring me at 540-984-4212. Thank you very much.